You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Well, this morning we're coming to the end of a series that we've been walking through called Uncommon Community. It's a series that I've seen and we've seen together God use to impact each individual in this church in many different ways. And we've seen it impact our small groups in many different ways. We've seen it impact our ministries and our ministry teams in many different ways. We've seen that we are, as the Church of Jesus Christ, an uncommon community, and we've been seeking to unpack the biblical truth about fellowship. Fellowship is not just coming together and having a meal necessarily. Fellowship constitutes, or biblical fellowship is constituted by people who come together, who gather together based on one thing they have in common, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not based on the food we like to eat together. It's not based on certain interests that we have in common. It's based on one thing we have in common, which brings us all together, which constitutes biblical fellowship. It is that we share Jesus Christ in common. And my deep prayer as a result of this series, or my deep prayer even throughout this series, is that our hearts and minds are continually being renewed. Our hearts are being made fully aware about the good purposes of the Church of Jesus Christ, the good purposes of God for the Church of Jesus Christ. We're not trying to build an institution here, get as many people as we can to fill a room and do nice programs and look nice on the outside, squeaky clean, and look how nice that church is. We're not trying to do that. But we want to get to the heart of what God's Word says the church is really all about. It's about this fellowship based on Jesus Christ. It's a community. We said that it's an uncommon community. It's a rare community. There's no other community on the face of the earth like the Church of Jesus Christ. Yet there are so many people, I would say hundreds and hundreds, even thousands upon thousands of people who go to church every single week who have yet to experience the reality and the power of what it means to be part of a community of faith. There is power in community. There is power in biblical fellowship. There's strength to be gained. There's encouragement, as we've seen, to be gained. And so hopefully as you hear the word church going forward out of this series, you're thinking more not about stained glass windows and wooden pews and a service necessarily, but you're thinking about more than that. You're thinking about community. Hopefully when you hear the word church, you're not thinking about this chair that you're sitting in or this building. Hopefully when you begin to think about church, you're beginning to think about it in terms of this community of people who've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, who come together because of the grace of Jesus Christ, to worship and adore Jesus Christ, but also to commune with one another, to know each other. We saw what an uncommon community looks like. It's a community that loves one another. We saw that that's going to be the distinct mark of the community of faith, is that we love one another. The community, the uncommon community, is a community that forgives each other, we saw. Forgiveness, there are no enduring relationships without forgiveness. We saw that the uncommon community is a community full of people who serve one another. Not me first, not my needs first, not come and tell me what I need to hear and tickle my ears and entertain me, but it's more we come to the church to serve one another. How can I serve? How can I be part of this community and give of myself and of my life? We saw that the uncommon community is a community that submits to one another. We saw that, and we unpacked that within the message on marriage specifically, but general principles about submission there as well. And we saw that the uncommon community is a community that encourages one another. And I do pray that this church, as each passing day goes by, this church is marked by these things: love and forgiveness and serving and submission to one another and encouraging one another. And today we're going to unpack the final exhortation, the final one another in this series, that I believe if we hold firm to this, we're going to close out our series with strength and we're going to see our church be taken to a new level. Today we're going to unpack the biblical exhortation to be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. Again, we're not coming here to sit in a chair and leave. We're not coming here because the preacher is good or the music is good. We're coming here to be part of the wider community. That's what God's plan is for each and every one of us who belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand and one of the ushers on either side, they'd love to get a copy of God's Word to you. No matter where you are, don't be shy. You can just slip up your hand. We want everyone to have a copy of God's Word in front of them. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. You can take it home and read it and have your life radically transformed by it. We're called Harvest Bible Chapel for a reason, because we believe that the Bible is the authoritative word of God. I have nothing good to say apart from God's word. Amen? Amen. We have nothing to gain from this place apart from God's word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. One verse. It says this: love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I'm going to show you a few things from this passage, this one verse of Scripture that I believe we need to embrace with all our hearts if we're going to be that uncommon community that God wants us to be. And we do want to be that, and I believe that there are people in this room that do want to be part of something bigger than just ourselves, an uncommon community where the Spirit of God is in our midst, God's Word is shaping us and driving us towards His purposes and His plans for our lives in this community, in this world. I want you to jot this down first. We're going to start here. The uncommon community is, write this down in your notes, is a devoted family. The uncommon community is a devoted family. Notice it in the verse. It says in verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Each word matters in the verse. Each word is so significant. Love one another with brotherly affection. Here in verse 10, the Apostle Paul's aim is to drive into our hearts what genuine, unconditional love looks like in the context of the church of Jesus Christ. Other translations say, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. To be devoted to one another in brotherly affection literally means to have natural family love for one another. Natural family love. It's a reference to the kind of love and affection that families have for one another. So if you're looking around this room and you see people that you don't recognize or you don't necessarily know, listen, if you know Jesus Christ like they know Jesus Christ, this room is full of family members. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is far more than just an institution, far more than just a group of well-meaning people who gather together. The Scriptures take us deeper. The Church of Jesus Christ is to be a devoted family. We are family. We love one another. We are to love one another, the Bible says, with brotherly affection or brotherly love. So let's think about this for a minute. There are no perfect families, are there? There are no perfect families. If you belong to a perfect family, come and talk to me and I want to learn from you. There are no perfect families. In fact, many families suffer from dysfunction. They suffer from misunderstandings. Many families, even represented in this room, suffer from miscommunication at times and unresolved conflict and bitterness and resentment even. But what you'll almost always find in every family is a unique loyalty towards one another. What you'll almost always find in the context of a family is the sense that we may not see eye to eye on this particular issue, but we're always going to be together because we're family. We may not be understanding each other well in this particular circumstance, but we're always going to be family. We're always going to be with each other. We're always going to stick close to each other. And families often have to work really hard at staying close to each other. But there is a unique loyalty and there's a strong bond and a sense of belonging because it's family. There's something unique and special about family. While family relationships have rocky seasons, families may be even separated geographically at times, there is almost always a sense in the hearts of people that there is my family, that I will love them always, I will be with them always, I will be committed to them always. I may not be close to them geographically in this season, but if they need me, I'm going to do what I need to do to get there and be there for them, because there is a unique bond within the context of family. And the truth that's being woven throughout this entire series is that being part of the Church of Jesus Christ is in no way being an island unto yourself, being alone. In fact, what's being woven, the thread that's being woven through this entire series is that if you've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, then you immediately belong to the body of Christ. You're immediately grafted into the family of God, and you now belong to a family to be accountable to, a family to share with, a family to rejoice with, a family to weep with, a family to be devoted to, just like families are devoted to one another because they belong to each other. The family of God, which is the church of Jesus Christ, must be devoted to one another and committed to one another in such a way that we care for each other, we love one another with brotherly affection. We are devoted to one another because we are family. That's an important thing that you're not hearing much of in the Western world. You're not hearing much of this in Western world pulpits where the church pastors are trying to get churches bigger. Bring as many people as you can into this church. We just want to be big. We want to be a big organization. We want to be a big institution. And we don't need to know who everyone is. And I'm saying to you, that's not what the Bible says the community of faith is. We want to know every single person in this church. We want to know who you are. We want you to be committed to one another. We want you to be devoted to one another. We want you to love one another. We don't want you drifting in here, drifting out, and no one knowing what you're going through and what you're walking through. We care about you. We love you because this is the nature of the church of Jesus Christ. We are to be committed to each other. We are to be a devoted family. And that means that we need to be devoted to being there for one another in hard times, just like family on the screen for you. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That means we must be committed to saying the hard thing to one another at times where it's necessary, just like family. Ephesians 4:15 on the screen as well says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. How do we mature? How do we grow up in our faith? Well, we come together as a family who's devoted to one another, and we're willing to speak the truth to each other in love. That means I see you walking down a path. Maybe I see you engaging in unrepentant sin. That means I'm not just going to sit back and let you take your life down a dark road. I'm going to step into your life, and I'm going to say a hard word to you sometimes in love because we're family, because we care about each other. It means that we got to be committed to humbly receiving correction when necessary, just like we need to do in family. And Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Listen, but whoever hates reproof is stupid. I know, you laugh. I know, it's funny. I laugh too when I read that verse. The stupid is in the Bible. But it communicates something profound. It communicates those of us who distance ourselves from correction, who distance ourselves from discipline. We don't like it. We can't take it. We want anything except to be corrected. We're being stupid, the Bible says. We're being stupid. We want to love one another. We want to be able to humbly receive a rebuke. It means we got to be committed to bearing with one another and maintaining unity in all of our relationships, just like family. And listen, when the church grows bigger and bigger, maintaining the unity gets harder and harder. We have to fight for that. On the screen, Ephesians 4:2-3 says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Eager. Wanting to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means that if someone comes up to you and they start to gossip about someone in the church, you say, I don't have ears for that. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it. You're destroying the church. You're destroying the unity of the church. Don't talk to me about that. You correct them. You rebuke them lovingly. And you teach people how they are to speak around you. And people are to speak around you in a way that glorifies Jesus Christ because we're devoted to one another. If we weren't devoted to one another, we let people say whatever they want. Let them run off their mouths. Let them gossip. Let them slander. We don't care about each other. We don't care about the church. Let the church go down in flames. Who cares? But we don't feel that way. We love each other. We're devoted to each other. We love the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself died for his church. And therefore, we love one another and we're devoted to one another by maintaining the unity of the Spirit. And where there is slander and where there is gossip and where there is conflict and where there is strife, you better believe you're going to step in with humility and love and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another. Listen, some of us are on a different part of the journey than others of us. Some are more mature than others. We got to bear, the Bible says, with the failings of the weak. We got to bear with one another. And that's what it means to be devoted to one another. We've been learning that the Christian life is a life lived within the context of a wider family. And the Christian life is a life that understands that to be part of the family of God is to be devoted. It's to be a committed member of the family. Now, some of you may be sitting here and saying, well, that sounds nice, Jason. That sounds cute and everything, but you know, I haven't had that experience in my family. I don't really know what it means to be part of a family that's devoted to one another. Maybe when you think of the word family, it doesn't encourage you to draw near to people in church. Maybe when you think of the word family, when you think of the words brotherly affection in the text, it makes you cringe because you had a brother or a sister that hurt you deeply. You don't know what it means to have a close-knit family. Maybe for you, you grew up without a father. You don't know what it means to have a father in your life drawing and bringing the family together. The word for you is God is your heavenly Father now. Maybe you're here and you're abandoned by your mother. You got to understand that God will never leave you or forsake you in the family of God. As I said, maybe you were abused by a sibling. You got to believe that God will never abuse you and the family of God will never abuse you. Maybe you can't trust anyone in your family because of devastating things that you experienced. The word of God for you today is this. When you came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you were grafted into a family. You were grafted into a body. You were made a member of a body. You're not on your own out there with your relationship with Jesus. You were grafted into a body, and the body has, as its leader, as its master, as its utmost authority, the most loving, compassionate, kind, merciful, patient Savior who will lavish all of that upon you as you're part of this family. You got to know that when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you were grafted into a family that consists of people who God is working on, who consists of people that God is speaking to daily, and consists of people whom God, through His Holy Spirit, is drawing into deeper fellowship with Himself such that we can be to one another the reflection of His great love and the reflection of His great mercy and the reflection of His great patience. So if you're sitting here in this room today and you have bad ideas when you think of the word family, I'm telling you, let the Word of God renew your mind. The family of God is to be a devoted family where there are people that make mistakes and there are people that fall short and there is sin that takes place. But if we grow in this devotion to one another, if we grow in this commitment to one another, we gotta love each other with brotherly affection. If we're resolved today that we're gonna stop at nothing to grow in this way, you will see, loved ones, you will see God meshing this family together in a way that you never thought possible. You maybe came from a church where it was dysfunctional. You'll see what God the Holy Spirit can do with a group of people who are devoted to one another. You'll see God bring people together in a way that's functional and beautiful and precious. So that, as I hear so often in our church, I can't believe what God is doing in this place. So that you'll step back so often and you'll say, I can't believe the love that's being extended towards me. So that you'll step back so often and you'll say, I can't believe the sacrifices that are being made for me. I can't believe the devotion that is happening in the hearts of people towards one another. We are seeing that. But listen, we haven't even scratched the surface. God hasn't even scratched the surface. We're not even 2 years old, loved ones. And God is just getting started, but we got to get these things in our hearts. From God's word. The word for us today is a precious word. Romans 12, verse 10 can be for us a precious, precious verse that we are to devote ourselves to one another and love one another with brotherly affection. How is that going with you in your life? How devoted are you to this family? Now, some of you may be feeling a little bit uncomfortable right now because you feel like pastor's speaking kind of loud and he's coming at me with such intensities, telling me I'm part of this family. It's my first time here. I don't even know anyone. And he's coming at me so hard. Listen, we do this and we preach with urgency and this type of zeal because we love each and every one in this place. I want you to know that you're loved. I want you to know that you're cared for. I want you to know that when you walked into this room, we care so much to know who you are, and we care so much to be devoted to you. And therefore, we want you, loved ones, you, each and every one, to be devoted to one another. Not devoted to a preacher, not devoted to a place or a physical building, devoted to each other. We want you to be connected. We want you to be merged in with the family that is yours in Christ Jesus. And so if you're here and you've just been coming and going, and coming and going, I don't want anyone to feel guilty, but I want you to be set free and released with the great truths of Scripture. You mean I can have a family that loves me? I can be accountable to people who will love me with brotherly affection? I can come into this place and be loved and encouraged and forgiven when I do wrong? I can have all that? Yes. Yes, that's what God's plan is for you. That's what God's plan is for us. And so I urge you and I exhort you and I plead with you lovingly, don't walk in and walk out. Come and be part of the family. Get connected. Get firmly plugged in so that you can see and experience the power of uncommon community. And it is very powerful. The uncommon community is a devoted family. But secondly, you can jot this down. I want you to see the uncommon community is a beautiful family. The uncommon community is a beautiful family. As I'm preparing this week and as I'm praying, I want so much to preach Romans 12:10 to you from my heart to yours. I want to preach Romans 12:10 from my heart, and I want the Lord to take it and drive it into your heart. I'm learning that there's so many people, even in this room today, that are hurting. There are so many people among us that are suffering. There are so many people among us that are lonely. There are so many people among us that don't know their left from their right. They don't know where to go. They're confused about certain doctrines. They're confused about other things that are unfolding in their lives. There's so much happening in this room even today. I'm so aware of that. And this is why I say that the uncommon community is a beautiful family. Because you don't have to be alone here. You don't have to be alone in your pain and your suffering. You don't have to be alone. I want you to understand that as we press into God's truth, there is for us fresh hope and fresh beauty in our Christian lives. And I believe so much beauty in the family of God. Verse 10. It's beautiful. Outdo one another, it says, in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. The result of this will be the beauty of God seen in the family of God. The result of obedience to this verse will be the beauty of the family of God seen right before our very eyes. Outdo one another in showing honor. The idea here is giving preference to one another. Giving preference to other believers and considering one another as more important than ourselves. Can you imagine a family that comes together that seeks as the aim of their heart to outdo one another in showing honor? Can you begin to see, as I'm preparing this, as I'm reading this at my desk in my office, my heart is being filled with the beauty of what this church can be. How beautiful this church can be, how beautifully glorifying to God this church can be as we begin to look outwardly outside of ourselves and begin to prefer one another above ourselves. It's a beautiful family, and obedience to this will result in beauty right before our eyes. And this giving preference flows right from verse 3 earlier in the wider context, which exhorts us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. It comes ultimately from a humble heart. This type of living comes from a humble heart. It's not shallow, superficial flattery. It's not excessive, insincere praise for the purpose of gaining the favor of the one being flattered. That's not what honor is. Showing honor to one another is sacrificial, and it's rooted in genuine love and devotion to one another. So, as we seek to love one another with brotherly affection, understanding that brotherly affection alludes to family love. We are a family. As we seek to be a devoted family, we will see then with our eyes what it looks like to be a beautiful family. A beautiful family. A family where people are preferring one another above themselves. A family where people are humbling themselves, not elevating themselves in pride. A family where the leaders of the church are on their knees more than they are standing up trying to make people follow them. A family that is so beautiful because we consider one another better than ourselves. That's what this church is, and that's what this church can be increasingly. But you, every individual in this room, you have to be convinced of this. You have to believe about what God can do in your life and through your life. You may be sitting here saying, I'm just one person. What can I do? I'm saying each and every one, be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Love one another with brotherly affection. Understand this place is family. Get it out of your head that I don't know these people and get it in your head. I need to know these people. They're my family. Be devoted to one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. We're seeing that in our church. This week alone has caused me to be totally blown away by God's active presence among us in our church. It's been a week for me of many tears. Tears of brokenness, tears of joy, tears of amazement at answered prayers, both big and small. That's all happened this week. Tears that fill the eyes of people who are so devoted to one another. People who are being filled with the Spirit and people who are living out Romans 12:10. And there's lots of honor and appreciation and affirmation and respect in this church. There is already. It makes me think, Lord, what else can you do? How much more? God, what else can you do? How else will you use us? How else will you expand our influence? How else will you show this watching world all around us what you look like? How else will you do it, Lord? How else will you do it, Lord? There's so much ahead. We're asking the Lord to show us as we be people who are so directly influenced by God's word and shaped by God's word and moved forward by God's word. Notice the text again. He says, outdo one another in showing honor. Paul adds another element to the exhortation to show honor. The idea here is almost one of a competition. We are to be increasingly preferring one another over ourselves, increasingly doing all that we can to honor others above ourselves. Be devoted to one another so that you're like racing with the other people in this church to honor. You're right, like I'm looking at Andrew right now. I'm running towards Andrew. I'm going to race him. I'm going to beat him because I want to honor him before he can honor me. That's what it means. I'm looking at Bruno right now. I'm going to run to you. I'm going to honor you before you can honor me. I'm going to get you. It's like a race. That's the competition. That's the sense in a positive way that Paul is exhorting the church to be. Outdo one another in showing honor. Keep your eyes open about ways you can, the Greek word says to respect and admire and appreciate one another. To rejoice with one another as they rejoice. Not to be jealous of people. Not to say, oh, they got something good and I wish I had that. And be all grumpy when good things are happening in other people's lives. That's garbage. Instead, it's outdoing one another and showing honor. It's like when something good happens to my brother or sister, I'm like rejoicing with you. What a beautiful church that would be, wouldn't it? What a beautiful family that is. Not envying, but rejoicing. Not trying to elevate ourselves, but humbling ourselves. Not trying to gain respect and affirmation for ourselves, but giving respect and affirmation and admiration and appreciation to others in this church. The Church of Jesus Christ is a beautiful family. It's a beautiful family when we take to heart what God's word says, to outdo one another in showing honor. This is the culture of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's a culture of love and forgiveness and serving and submission, encouragement, and devotion. So question for you, are you devoted? Question for you, are you committed? Are you committed? Listen, I hope you know me well enough to know I'm not trying to twist arms. I'm not trying to put pressure at all. I'm just saying to you, because I love you, the best thing for you is to be devoted. The best thing for me is to be devoted. The best thing for us is to find a group of people, a family that we can plug into. It's the family of God. We share one thing in common. It's the saving work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Are you devoted? Are you committed? And some will say, well, I need to check it out a bit longer. Take your time. But if you see God nudging your heart, don't hold back. Get connected. Get plugged in because it's the best thing for you. It's the best thing for me. Devotion is what God's word is calling us to today. But listen, the culture cannot be facilitated and sustained simply by trying harder at being devoted and showing honor. This is not an exhortation to try harder and do better. That's not what it is at all. We're going to look at the wider context in a minute to understand that to be devoted to one another cannot be about, I need to do better, I need to try harder. Sure, we have a role to discipline our lives, but it's not about mustering up enough strength to do what God wants me to do. True devotion to one another flows from two key things. I want you to write this down. True devotion to one another flows from, write this down, devotion to Jesus Christ. True devotion to one another flows from devotion to Jesus Christ. If you go all the way up to chapter 12, verse 1, this is the context for the entire chapter. This is what it says. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. True devotion to one another must flow from true devotion to Jesus Christ. The language here in Romans 12:1 is the language of surrender. It's the language of sacrifice. It's the language of devotion. Devotion to Jesus Christ. Such devotion that you give him your entire life. And listen, loved ones, true devotion to one another is not going to be achieved or facilitated through people who say, I'm just going to try harder and do better to show other people honor. That just becomes moralism and it's useless. What we want is gospel-saturated, gospel-centered, Christ-exalting devotion to one another, and that must flow from devotion to Jesus Christ. That Paul's urging them to lay down their lives as a living sacrifice. Paul is saying, if you're going to do all these things that I'm going to instruct you to do, you've got to surrender your life. You got to daily be surrendered to Jesus Christ. You got to surrender your life to Jesus Christ in every part. You got to be devoted to Jesus Christ. You have to be convinced that you need God's word as you need your breakfast in the morning, that you need God's word daily as you need the air that you breathe. You got to be convinced that you devote yourself to Jesus Christ in such a way that you seek the Lord in prayer. And you pray not as a matter of a ritual or duty or obligation. You pray because you realize I'm nothing and he is everything. Oh, how I need him. Oh, how I need him. Listen, this kind of devotion to Jesus Christ is what spills out of our hearts into devotion to other people in our church. And the church that grows in devotion to one another is the church that is full of people who believe, my life is not my own. I offer my life to the Lord completely. Use me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. So we need to stop in the wider context for a moment, and ask ourselves a question. How devoted am I to Jesus Christ? How devoted am I to reading God's word daily? How devoted am I to getting plugged into the fellowship so that there's accountability in my life? How devoted am I to Jesus Christ such that I'm at the prayer meeting, I'm with my small group, I'm praying every single day because I'm devoted, I'm giving him my life. How devoted are you? Because listen, try and try and try. You cannot be devoted to one another in brotherly affection unless you're devoted to Jesus Christ ultimately and supremely. We're not going for horizontal, we're going for vertical. And the horizontal is accomplished when the vertical is intact. When you and I are pursuing Jesus Christ and loving Jesus Christ and surrendering our life to Jesus Christ, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Here, Lord, take my life, use me. Then God takes that person who prays that prayer and begins to cause them to be devoted to the other people around them in such a way they can't explain in and of themselves. I'm not mustering up enough strength to do this. This is the strength of God working in me towards my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we want. That's what we're going for. We're going for Holy Spirit-empowered people filled with the Holy Spirit of God, saturated in God's word, reaching out to one another, loving one another with brotherly affection. Devotion to one another flows from devotion to Jesus Christ. How devoted are you to Christ? How devoted are you? Because try all you want on the horizontal, you won't achieve what God wants you to achieve unless you're connected firmly, vertically, because he loves you. Did you know that God could use you? Did you know that? And some of you are sitting here saying, well, that's pretty basic, Jason. I think we all know that God can use us, but it's not that basic. If you've been in church all your life and you think that's basic, there's others here that don't know God can use them. I was like that. Someone told me God could use you. I was blown away. God could use me. God could use me. God could do something through me. God could use me to reach other people and touch other people's lives in a positive way. I'm telling you, did you know God wants to use you? As you're devoted to Jesus Christ and offering yourself as a living sacrifice to him, did you know God wants to use you then as you're devoted to other people? In a way that you couldn't facilitate on your own. In a way that's uniquely supernatural. That's what we want, isn't it? Isn't it? That's what we don't want, manufactured, man-made stuff. We don't want to just do good things for each other. We want Holy Spirit-filled people doing what only God can do through them. That's what we want. We don't want a church that we can manufacture on our own. And listen, if we wanted to get 1,000 people in this room, we probably could. It's not that hard. You can manufacture ways to get a lot of people in the room. We don't want that. We want to see what only God can do. We want to experience what only God can do. We want people to reach each other in the way that only God can facilitate. We want the real deal. We want the supernatural power of God in our midst. How devoted are you to Jesus Christ? How devoted? Because that's the only way we'll begin to see the real deal in our midst. And we are seeing it. Devoted to one another means ultimately devoted to the Lord first. And secondly, true devotion to one another flows from not only devotion to Jesus Christ, but true devotion flows from the power of Jesus Christ. We've already touched on that. But look at verse 2 of chapter 12. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That means that love and devotion to one another never comes effectively through try harder, do better, as I said. But it's the power of God in our lives. And I don't know about you, loved ones, but I'm very, very hungry for the power of God in my life. As I look at this church, as I look out at all the faces, I'm thinking to myself, oh God, please, please show us your glory and your power. Such that we are not being conformed to the patterns of this world. We're not doing what the world says. We're not even doing what big churches say we need to do. We're doing what you want us to do. We're being not conformed to the world, but transformed. Transformed. That's what the power of Jesus Christ does. It transforms us. It changes us. It sanctifies us. True devotion to one another comes through the power of Jesus Christ. That's why I love the song we sang earlier. Lord, I need you. Do you love that song? I want you to love that song, church. I want our church to be a church that loves songs like that. Lord, I need you. I'm not strong enough on my own. I'm not good enough on my own. I'm not capable enough on my own. Lord, I need you. I can't be devoted to all these people on my own. Lord, I need you. I can't be smart enough for these people. I can't be smart enough to do what you want me to do. Lord, I need you. And where God finds a group of people like this who say, Lord, I need you. Fill us, use us. We surrender our lives to you. We're not conforming to the patterns of this world, but we're being transformed as our minds are renewed in God's word and with each other. Oh, Lord, use us to be an expression of your great love and compassion and mercy and grace to one another. What could God do? Listen, God is and can facilitate a beautiful, beautiful family in this place. And we want it to be flowing from the power of Jesus Christ, such that we look at what God is doing and say, it could only be explained by this. God has done it. God has done it. We need to continually remember the mercies of Christ. Then we will be progressively equipped by the power of Christ to outdo one another in showing honor. So really practical now. Really practical. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in a few moments. This is not duty or ritual. This is not ceremony. This is like right now we are getting down to the most fundamental things of our faith. Jesus died on the cross for me. His blood was shed on the cross, and as he was hanging there suffering a brutal death, he saw my face and he saw your face, and he died so that we may find forgiveness of our sins. Today, if we're going to see these things play out in our lives, We need to be committed today to keep the mercies of Jesus Christ before us, the gospel of Jesus Christ before us, that we're not going to drift away into some other things that we think are more important. We're going to keep at the front of our minds the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want us to take a few moments right now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up to begin to zero in on the mercies of God for us. And I want this to be as distraction-free as possible, but I'm praying that the Lord would use this moment in our lives to be a moment where we are locked in, where the Spirit of God gets a hold of our hearts to say, look what I've done for you, and that we can focus on Jesus Christ. We can focus on his sacrifice. And in a few moments, you're going to hold in your hands the symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. In a few moments, just symbols. Symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible warns us never to take these things lightly or casually, but to approach these things with great seriousness. The Bible instructs us to take these things lightly is a very dangerous thing. And so I would say this time that we're about to engage in is just for those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're here visiting and you don't know of this guy, Jesus, you just heard some stuff for the first time today, I'm just telling you right now, we love you. We want you here. We want you to know Jesus. But if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and Master today, this part is not for you. This part is the part for people who have said, I've given my life to Jesus. I understand what it means that he died on the cross to cleanse me of all my sin. This part is for the part is the part for people who can say, I'm a new creation because of Jesus. You can remember, for some this will be a time of repentance. For some this will be a time of confession. What I'm going to do is read a few passages of Scripture that are going to appear on the screen for you, and I just want us to help us meditate. You don't have to be shy, worship team. You play. This is all for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all for him. All the music that goes up right now is for the Lord. It's all for the Lord. God be worshipped in the music right now in Jesus' name. 1 John 1:7 on the screen for you says this. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 9:12 says, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Colossians 1:13-14 says this, let it be real for you. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Increasing devotion to one another flows from increased devotion to Jesus Christ. Let's meditate on and reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins right now. Let's give him our lives in its entirety. The usher's going to come. They're going to distribute the elements. You can meditate. You can reflect. And you can sing. Father, right now I pray that you would be very present in the lives of each person in this room as we participate the way you've commanded us to. God, I pray that you would be glorified and honored. Much cleansing in the hearts of many people in this room today. Much renewal and much more commitment and devotion to you, leading to devotion to one another, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.